Please be seated. What's Peter doing now? Today, I'd just like to have more of a conversation. I'm going to pull out this IKEA chair. There we go. It always does something different with IKEA. That hymn was beautiful, Amazing Grace. We actually sing about the amazing grace that God gives us, and how wonderful it is to have him provide and care for us, despite the fact that he has called us out of our wretchedness and gives us his purity, his love, his grace over us. But we'll start with Samuel and the Israelites. Samuel is confronted by the elders and they want a king. And of course, God says to Samuel, I'm their king. And so Samuel tells all the Israelites the consequences if they take on a king. The elders say, we still want a king, despite the consequences. How sad is that? And the reason being is because they looked at their neighbours and the neighbouring tribes, and they had a king, and they wanted a king to go with them into battle. You know, God had led the Israelites through the wilderness. And time again, there was phenomena that was with them. He provided for them, he cared for them, he protected them. There was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day with them. And eventually they got to the promised land. And even in the promised land, God's provision was great. They had nothing to want for. And I think that may have been their trap. They became so contented in what they had and what was provided for them that they actually forgot who had provided and what they had. And they began to look at the other tribes and what they had as well. And they decided that they wanted to be like them. The thing is that God had called them out to be their people. In fact, a holy nation. A holy nation because God was showing himself through them to the other nations. They were called to be distinct so that other nations could be blessed by them. And now the elders and the Israelites wanted to compromise and wanted to take on the things of the other nations. And so, in compromising, they lost the presence of God with them. And I'll explain it like this, is that the first three kings, only one led them in the things of God, and that was David. And after Solomon, the Israelite nation was split in two between Judah and Israel. And in Judah, with Judah, there were 19 kings. And in those 19 kings, only six of them followed God. And in Israel, there were 20 kings. And of those 20 kings, none of them followed the things of God. And ultimately, Judah was captured by Babylon and taken into exile. And Israel was captured by the Assyrians and taken into exile. They had taken their eyes off who really was their king, who had led them from Egypt into the promised land. They had compromised one thing after another until they were in captivity and in slavery. We come to the story, the gospel story with Jesus. And you have to see the full context. And the full context is actually from Mark chapter 2. See, Jesus goes to Capernaum. While he's in Capernaum, he does quite confronting things. Remember the story of the man that gets lowered down into the room and he's a cripple. And Jesus says, I forgive you your sins. Oh boy, that really rattled up the Pharisees. They said, how can you forgive sins? And he says, the Son of Man can forgive sins. Get up, man, and walk. And he did. And he confronts the Pharisees over a number of issues. And he replies to their challenges with parables that they cannot refute. Not only that, then they start to criticize who he is, and he even challenges them on that, to the point where they're challenging him and saying that he has a demonic spirit within him, and that's why he can raise, deliver men from demons. And Jesus actually replies something. He replies to them that unless you bind up the strong man, you cannot deliver, or you cannot set men free from the strong man's house. And what Jesus is actually saying there is that he is the one. He is the one that binds up that strong man. The Pharisees would have got that. And Jesus' family comes, and they come to actually rescue him. They think he's doing such risky things, his life is at risk. And yes, his life is at risk. And he's doing and saying these things, and they think maybe he slipped a few camels in the top paddock. That he's you know, taking these really, they really believe, stupid risks. And, but Jesus says, he says, those who do my will are my family. You see, we come, how do we know Jesus is the king of our hearts? And how do we know that what we're doing is God's will in our lives? When we look at doing God's will, sometimes we automatically say, well, you know, we work with the food bank here, I helped someone, you know, down the road the other day, I did this, I did that. You know, that's all important, but it's secondary. Christ has to be king of our hearts. And what that means is that in our heart, in our soul, there's a desire to have him reign in our lives. In other words, we want to be like Jesus. Sounds like a bit glib. I want to be like Jesus. But the truth is, we want his righteousness in our lives. We want to have his fruits and his gifts in our lives. And so our heart's desire is to draw closer and closer to God. And that's what God wants. That's why I shared that little poem that I wrote at the beginning. God calls us to be close to him. And he calls our hearts to desire him. That is where God becomes king of our lives. As we draw close to him, the word of God says, he will draw close to us. But also, he pursues us as well. That this happens. Isn't that beautiful? So, then we know that his will is being fulfilled. His will is a relational, love relationship with him. And as we follow Christ, we know that his will is being fulfilled. Then, out of knowing the love of God for us, we share the love of God with other people in whatever way and in however way God leads us to do that. And so we show people the love of God through our own lives because it's resonant. It resonates within our hearts here, first and foremost. And that's the precious thing that we can have in Christ. And as I said, the Israelites lost that distinction that they had because they compromised one after another. wanting the things of the world. And so they were led back into the darkness of the world and back into slavery and captivity that God had led them out of in Egypt. And God calls us to live in the freedom that he wants us to live in. The joy, the peace, the grace that we can carry in our hearts, knowing, truly knowing that he is with us. And so I'd like to finish with a prayer, and it's actually a reading out of Ephesians. Blessed are you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for you have blessed us in Jesus Christ with every spiritual gift in heavenly places. You chose us to be yours in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before you. In love, you destined us to be your children through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of your will, to the praise of your glorious grace, which you have freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. We are God's family. And let's cling on to that. In Jesus' name, amen.